Man, that was powerful. Take me to the King. Wow. It reminds me about 6-7 years ago, around this time, I was preparing to I was preparing a message, and I was actually coming over here to a staff meeting that Tuesday morning. And our son come running out of his bedroom, and his eyes were about, just that big. He was just, Dad. I'm like, yeah, what's wrong, Trey? What's wrong? He says, I know what Jesus wants for his birthday. I'm like, you know what the King wants for his birthday? He said, yes. I said, what is it? He wants us to give our lives back to him. What a fitting way for us this morning as I go into this message today. We're talking about the good news. The Savior was born, is born. Amen. This morning, I'm going to come to you from a scripture in Luke 2, but I'm going to read Luke 29 and 32. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. Amen. Here we are. This is like 40 days after the birth of Jesus. And as custom with the law, after 40 days, the child had to be taken to the temple to be offered as a purification ceremony. So here we are 40 days after the birth of Jesus, just 40 days. Jesus hasn't preached one sermon. Jesus hasn't performed one miracle. All he had done was, like most babies, eat, poop, cry. That's all he'd done. But here, this man of God, Simeon, who we only see here in the Bible, in the story of Luke. And Luke runs to the mother and he grabs the baby and he says, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, I can go now. I can go on and come to be with you, for your salvation has come to the world. I wonder, how did Simeon know that Jesus was the Messiah? The Holy Spirit tells in like 25 that the Holy Spirit had enlightened him, had put light on the salvation. So if I had to subtitle this, he came to be a light of the world. See, even before he performed his first message, his first sermon, his first miracle, someone recognized who he was. The light was shining from him. Amen. There was a light. There was something about him that people were drawn to. This man Simeon was drawn to him. Amen. Light has a way of. I was trying to get dressed this morning in the dark because I didn't want to wake up the queen. Wake up my wife. But anyway, when I turned on the light, I could find what I wanted. Amen. I was reading this week, and this is a true story. I want to find that. This is a true story, and it happened during World War II. Six pilots took off from an aircraft carrier in the North Atlantic to scout some enemy submarines. While they were gone, doing their job, the captain of the carrier was forced to issue a blackout alarm. The ship went totally dark. When the pilots tried to return, they could not find the ship. They radioed, "Give us some light! We're coming home!" The ship's radio operator replied, "Order, blackout. I cannot give you light." In turn, each pilot desperately radioed the same message, "Hey man, just give me some light. I will make it home." Each time the operator had to radio back, no light, blackout. Because there was no light on that ship, six young pilots went to their graves that morning. Ladies and gentlemen, because there's no light, people in your jobs, in your communities, will not make it home. if the light does not shine. God dealt with me yesterday about my light, and I have to protect my light. Amen. I can't allow anything to get in front of my light, to diminish the radiation of the light. And life happens. Life happens. I mean, things come at you so fast sometimes. Anybody who knows me know every Friday is my date day, okay? It's my date day with my mama. I am a mama's boy. Mama liked to go to Sam's, hairdresser, and Walmart on Friday during the day. So Friday morning, I set away some time to hang out with my mother. But anyway, we go to Sam's, and every Friday I go to Sam's, regardless if we need something or not, but we always need something, always replenishing. Well, this Friday, I went to Sam's, and I got 17 items, which is usually a little more than what we usually get, and the bill was a little bit higher than what it usually is. It actually came up to $247. This was a couple months. I remember this because I do this thing called scan and go now. And as I scan it, I pay for it. Then when I get to the end of it, I just take it out of my cart real quick, and it charges the card and everything, and it gives me a receipt. So I go to the door like I do every Friday, and the lady, she gets her little decoder thing. She, boom, didn't work. Boom, didn't work. The third time, she went boom, and she looked at me, and she said, well, you're here every Friday. Just go on out. It'll probably hit later. I said, okay. I just did what I was told. I moseyed on out. I get in the car, unload mom's car, put her stuff in her car, unload my car, put my stuff. I drive all the way from Sam's all the way out to my house, which is a nice little piece. I get out to the house. I'm pulling in the driveway, and the Holy Spirit is messing with me. I mean, you see, when you have a relationship with God, he talks to you. And God said, write down all the items. I'm like, write down all the items. So I'm taking them out of the car, writing them down, putting them in the freezer, writing them down, putting them in the pantry, writing them down, putting them in the laundry room. Wrote down everything. Well, I check my phone again, and it's still saying in the cart from Sam's. It hasn't processed the card. So I have to go back later on that afternoon. I have to go back and pick up Trey and Trenton. And anyway, I'm starting to do my duties and my daddy duties. And so I swing past Sam's again. It's about 4:30, 5 o'clock, and I'm sitting out in the parking lot, and I'm seeing there's a cart. It's still in the cart. So I said, well, let me just run inside real quick. So I run inside real fast, and I'm checking the Wi-Fi. I'm on the Wi-Fi, and still in the cart. I go back home. They said it'd actually probably take a day or so, and it'd hit Saturday. Well, long story short, Saturday came up. It never did hit. Amen? I went back out there. Again. Still, they says, well, give it a day or so, it'll come in. Went back out there Monday. Mm-hmm. Now, at this time, life is happening. I'm like, it's your fault. God is good. I'm telling you, $247. I can go buy myself something now. You know, amen. Yeah, thank you, Lord. You know, man. Went back out there. I talked to the manager, and she's like, well, I thank you for coming in and everything. She says, but it's probably, you know, just something going on with your bank and everything. Call your bank, da-da. So I called the wife. She called the bank. They said, well, just go ahead and give it a day. So I go back home again. Still nothing comes up. Finally, because I'm talking to Gerard every day about it and everything, I think she's getting tired of me. She's like, boy, you need to go do something about that, okay? I go back Tuesday, and I tell him, I said, listen, I owe you $247. How can we do this and make it right? And she says, do you have your list? I said, yeah, I've got this list. So she started going through the list and asked me, is this the one that you priced? Yeah, that's the one. Is this the one? Yeah. So it came up to exactly $247. Amen. She says, oh, the other clerk that was sitting there, I've been out there so many times. Now, this other lady, she looked at me and she says, excuse me, sir. Why would you do that? I'm like, why would I do what? Why would you come out here so many times to pay for this? I said, don't blame me. Blame my daddy. He made me this way. See, the light helps us to see things clearly. Amen. The light helps us to put things in the right perspective. $247 wasn't going to make me or break me. Not bragging. $247 would have not allowed me to sleep clearly. Amen. Not only that, but like I said, the light has to be protected. I don't know where I'll see them ladies again, but I do know they will know how my walk with Christ is, who I represent. Amen. And we come across life, as we do this thing called life, we have to be careful that we don't allow anything to diminish the star. Because we live in a dark time, y'all. I researched this week and over five psychiatric diagnoses, and 189,000 people are taking some type of psychiatric drug for ADHD, all this stuff, okay? All this stuff, this darkness. I understand darkness. I lived in a dark place. Some of y'all don't know, but I'm a recovering alcoholic drug addict. I used to love hanging out in the dark. I mean, be honest with you, I'd come out 12, 1 o'clock in the morning, run up till the sun come up. Then I try to get in so nobody could see what I was doing. Understand what I'm saying? I felt comfortable in the dark. Amen? I learned to manipulate. I learned to cheat. I learned to hustle. I learned to lie. Those are all things of the darkness. Oh, man. Amen? And so when I come across situations in my life where I want to take an easy route, or I want to maybe not tell the whole truth, the reason why I can't do it is because the way I used to be. Amen? And I know some people look at me sometimes and say, everything is not black and white. Some of y'all might be able to do the purple blues. I can't do it. Amen? So this is why I am the way I is, okay? Because when I tried to be someone else, when I tried to be this other person that lied, manipulated, and cheated, got my way, I wasn't the nicest person. I had some bad ways. Amen. I didn't like that person. Matter of fact, many of you don't know, but I didn't even like looking in the mirror. You can't tell that now probably, but I mean, for real, because every morning I would wake up and I would be thinking, or I would come to, I wouldn't really wake up. I would come to and I'd be like, what did I do? Who did I harm? Who did I lie? And I had to replay all this stuff over and over and over again. When I went into treatment, Joe, my counselor, asked me one day, he says, DC, why did you come here? And I told him, I just wanted my mind to stop. I just wanted to rest. And it wasn't the type of rest that I got like last night where I went to bed and I woke up fresh. You know what I'm saying? This was the type of rest where I had to put everything on hold and just take care of me. Amen? And that's what I got. And that's, you know, we're going to get to that later on. So that's why, you know, I go out of my way to be the way that I am. And one thing that I recognized through this whole process, see, I came here to Abundant Faith some 23 years ago. And I'll never forget the very first time I came to, was over on Livingston. And I came all the way on a Wednesday night, and it was about 6:15. And I came to the door, and I got to the door, and I put my hand on the door. And I ran away because I was afraid. I was afraid to walk through that door. Amen? I was afraid of you all. And y'all done nothing but talk about me. I mean, love me since I've been here. No, but seriously, I actually left because I was afraid of becoming this new creature. Amen? And what happened is, I'm going to get to my second point here. The light is capable of carrying our load. Matthew 11, 28, 30 says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My soul needed a rest. I wasn't capable of carrying this burden of life that I had been carrying around. See, the burden of life that I was carrying was a lie. Amen? It was a lie. I was trying to be someone that I wasn't created to be. Amen? I was doing things that I wasn't created to do. Amen? So life became heavy. I had a lot of anxiety. I had a lot of fears. Amen? Some of us today are facing fears. Some of us today are living a life that's not quite who we was created to be. And it's okay. Amen? Because once I learned that I wasn't capable of carrying that load, it became easy. Because I didn't want to carry it. Anybody know me? Know I'm lazy. All right. I'm all right. Now, seriously, though, on the real side, when I recognized that Jesus wanted to carry my load, he wanted to carry my burden, I was like, man, thank you. Thank you. You mean I'm not responsible for that anymore? See, let me tell you, and y'all know them spoiled children of mine, Trey, Trenton, and Trevin. They ain't got a worry in the world. They think that I'm going to take care of everything. Our mom's going to take care of everything. Amen? That's the way it should be for now. Amen? My God in heaven loves me more than that. Why am I worrying about anything? Why are we putting so much on ourselves that we weren't even capable of caring? I did a memorial service last month, and I think it was last month, yeah. And as I was studying, God revealed to me that, you know, something I've always known, these vessels are deteriorating. You know what I mean? They're getting weaker. These arms, these legs, I used to be able to run. I mean, I can't run. We was with the loved one yesterday in Champaign, and he's 85 years old. You know, he was telling the same story over and over again. And I recognize that's part of the process of growing up. Amen? We're not as sharp and as we used to be. So I've learned through this walk with Christ to allow Jesus to take on all that he wants to take on. Amen? Why? I need to be able to run this race of life as light as I can. Sometimes I will take on too much. Amen? And God will be just saying, slow down, son. That's for me. You know, don't try to get in your role. Take care of your business. You know what I mean? And I'll take care of all the other things. So Jesus is capable of carrying the load. You know, we live in a time where, like I said, everybody is running towards everything as opposed to God. I ran towards drugs, women, food, liquor, gambling. I mean, there's a work. You know what I'm saying? We run towards everything to try to fill that void that only God can fill. Amen? God wants us to stop and give it back to him today. Amen? Is anybody want to just let your load be a little bit lighter? Huh? Or is it just me? Is it just me? The light brings, number three, the light brings peace and comfort to those who will follow him. John 14:27 says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. You know, the funny thing about sometimes people, the world, they give you something. The first thing they want is something in return. They give you something or they might even want it back. Amen. You have to actually give it back to God. Amen. Once he gives you your peace, man, people look at me today, or they look at Christians today, and they wonder, what is it about you that's different? Because you're not chasing the things after the world like the world is. You're not acting, you're not reacting. Amen? We are involved in a lot of activities outside of church, and a lot of those activities revolve around sports. And this sports world has become crazy. I mean, and I thank God for the referees, because if I was a referee, it wouldn't be nobody but me and the kids. Mama, you got to go. Little child, you got to go. Coaches, y'all ain't need to show up today. Yeah. I wouldn't even give them a technical. I'd just throw them out. Amen. I mean, it's gotten so intense. Amen. So I have to remind myself when I'm watching my sons play or I'm watching your children play that they learn it. Amen? And not only are they learning, follow me for a minute. Everywhere I go, people know that I'm a Christian. Y'all didn't catch that. I don't have to be perfect. But if I act like them, how are they going to act like me? Follow me for a minute. If I act like them, if I'm cussing out the referee, if I'm telling him how bad he is, how are they going to act any different? And sometimes, because life happens, the world happens, okay? You're sitting there and everybody's, man, I'll tell you, you know, and them the good ones, man, who won't fight, won't throw a punch by themselves, but they get in a crowd. Yeah, that's right. Man, be quiet. You couldn't play the game when you was five, okay? Let them play the game. Like, Lord, man. So everywhere we go, we have to recognize that people are watching us. Why? Not only are they watching us, hey, man, follow this for a minute. You are like baby Jesus. It's a dark world. Your light illuminates. All right? Don't allow anything to cover up your light. Don't allow the world's way of doing things diminish the star that is out there. Amen? And it's fair. I'm telling you. It's good. Because I like being different today. See, I told y'all this before, and I know I'm talking to a more mature group here, but when I first got saved, it was like a struggle trying to figure out who I was. And sometimes I would think, well, who is that guy? What do you mean? You said what to me? And I'm just like, yeah, that's all right, you know? So it takes a while for us to learn how to live according to God's ways. And what happens is the old man and the new man are steadily worn. The old man wants to get them told, wants to have the last word. And the new man says, I already not seen the end of the fight. I know who wins. It's a fixed fight. So I live my life according to that, what God has said, not according to what's going on to the left or to the right. Amen? Y'all follow me yet? So if we know who we are and we know who we belong to, we can act a different way. But our flesh gets in the way. Amen? And when flesh gets in the way, what flesh is doing, it is destroying what God is trying to do in your life for other people. See, Jesus just didn't save me for me. He saved me for that loved one that you've been praying for that you haven't talked to in a while, or that's maybe mad at you. He saved me for the person at the grocery store who doesn't know him. Amen? He saved me for that young lady at Sam's that day. Amen? It's not about us, y'all. Let me show you. Thank you, Father. I still love a beautiful dark night. I used to love it for other reasons, but I still love a beautiful dark night because in a beautiful dark night, man, you can see that beautiful star. No matter where you go, it's always out there. It's always shining. That's the same way with a Christian living his life for God. No matter where he goes, no matter where she goes, her star's always shining, and she's beautiful. And everybody wants to get to, why? Because there's peace, there's comfort around that star, around that light. Amen? These lights are getting hot on my head this morning. Hint to the wise. So yeah, you know, we this light that God has given us, you know, it's a responsibility, y'all. It's really a responsibility. And it's fair because God has equipped us to carry this light. Amen? It's funny as I used to like to, how I want to say it, defend myself. I used to find joy in arguing and fighting with people. I used to just love it. I mean, I used to revel in it. I mean, I don't know about y'all. I mean, I would just like, I find you a worthy opponent. Let's do this again. You know, I mean, I just loved it. And I'm the only one. I used to just really revel in that type of behavior. And today I run from it. Not because I'm afraid, because I see the damage that it can do. Amen? I see the damage that it can do. Long-term damage. You know, it's funny. I wasn't know if I was going to share this or not, but I think I might just try a little joke here. It's the truth. I remember when I was, I was real young. I was probably 12, 13 years old, and I was doing something. I was out with some friends at we were doing something we shouldn't have been doing, and we was over here around what was now the Garden Court area and everything. Anyway, we was running. That's what we was running. Yeah, we was running in the dark, running from the police in the dark. And back then, you know, everybody didn't have washer and dryers. So you would wash your clothes, then you would put them out on the dryer at nighttime, you know, or, you know, let them be out there. Well, they had left the clothes were gone, but the wire was still out there. And I didn't want to get caught, man. I mean, I was fast. I used to be able to run, man. I was running, and I didn't see the wire. And I hit the wire right around here, and I went, I was small, whoosh, whoosh, bam, out. And I remember, I couldn't talk or nothing. I remember them with them little, they had a little light, but they went right over me, didn't see me. Thank God for hiding me. You know, I didn't get caught. And I didn't learn. I didn't learn. That's the sad thing about it. I kept doing all these things. Amen? I kept doing all these things. So when I came, and let me just share you real quick. When I got sober, I was 29 years old, and which was a good thing. I went to a lot of meetings and everything. I went to a lot of AA meetings, Alcoholics Anonymous, and I went to a lot of Cocaine Anonymous meetings. And there came a time when I was about 7 years clean that I couldn't blame it on the alcohol and drugs anymore. See, I used to be able to blame it, my stealing and my mannish ways. I can't say the other word. Whoremonging? Can I say? I say that from cheap? Okay, anyway. I could. I'm always careful, man. But anyway, I hadn't stopped all those ways yet, amen? Because those were my four horsemen. They used to drive me, okay? They used to drive everything that I did. Everything that I did was based on those things happening, okay? So I got to a place in my sobriety about 7 years where I was the same person that I was when I was drinking and using. I couldn't blame it on that anymore. I had to have more. And my good friend, who was a sponsor of mine, he told me, he says, you know, this program has done everything for you that it could. It's saved your butt here on earth. He said, but you need to save your soul because you're bad, man. Seriously. Someone who loved me. He says, if I was you, I would go to a church and find out about this, they call it a higher power. And I went to a play that week or something. It was called Heaven's Gates, Hell's Flames. And there was a situation that was going on during this play that changed my life. It was about a father and a son. And I was a single father at that time. And I taught my son. Yeah, I taught his son everything, but he didn't teach him about Jesus, who Jesus Christ was. Amen? And it just stopped me in my tracks that night. And I met a pastor, Pastor Mark, and he invited me to his church. He told me, he says, I'd love to have you as a member of this church, but the church isn't for you. I want you to go somewhere where they're going to love you, they're going to nurture you, they're going to mentor you, they're going to help you. Amen? That next morning, I read an article in the paper about another pastor, Reverend Robert Freeman, who became my mentor, one of my mentors. And I went to a Methodist church that Sunday. And long story short, I hung out with him for about 6 months. He mentored me. We hung out. We did shows. We did everything. We did the Word of God. I mean, we just had fellowship, good fellowship. And then his church moved him. And I was like, that's it. I ain't doing church no more. But he sent me to Abundant Faith Christian Center. No, you hear me? He sent me here. And I was smart enough to listen. Not only was I smart enough to listen, I was smart enough to stay. Life hasn't been easy at Abundant Faith. I want you to understand something. If you're going through something that church hurts or whatever, stay. Amen? Amen. Stay. That wasn't even part of the message. Because I'll be honest with you. I was single when I came here. I made mistakes. Y'all talked about me. Y'all loved me. A couple years later, Pastor Mark came and he preached a message about people church hopping and church hurts and everything. And I went up to him. He says, man, you was a keeper. I said that. But anyway, I've been here for about 23 years. And through this process, I've learned to become comfortable in this new creation that God has created. Amen. It takes a while. It's taken some time. So if you're in your walk right now and there's things going on with you, please stay. Don't leave. That brings me to this point. Therefore, if anyone is, it is scripture, 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. Which brings me to the point, the light produces a new creation that learns to trust in him. That's our identity. When you want to see a Christian, it's one who actually trusts in God and God's ways. We've surrendered to our old person. Amen. And when I did the study on this new creation, you know, I always looked at it as God has cleaned me up. Amen. That's what I say. I'm sober now. He's cleaned me up. Amen. No, he said, I created a new Daryl Caldwell. The old Daryl Caldwell is dead. Follow me for a minute. The new man walks a different way. He's not that same man who tries to come up and act that way. Amen? He is a new creation. Brand spanking new. 5.0. I love it. All right? I've learned to trust the process of maturing in Christ. Amen? Because it's a process. Where none of us have arrived. Have anybody arrived? Oh, thank God we don't have a perfect church. Really, it's a new creation. Amen? I like new stuff, you know, because new is exciting. See, our walk as a Christian should be exciting. There shouldn't be nothing dull about being saved. I serve a creator, a creator, amen, that continues to bless me with new ideas, new things in my life, new ways of loving my wife. New ways of being a father. New ways of being a servant. New ways of being a friend. Come on, y'all don't understand me. When we become new, we have an opportunity every day to do something for the Lord. Amen? A new creation. A light that shines on a hill that people see. Amen? I shared with the group here a few months ago. We, in our neighborhood, one night, I was talking to my favorite cuz on the phone. And we were just, I hadn't talked to him about a couple months, and we were just talking. And the doorbell rang. And Gerard goes to the doorbell, and she's talking to this lady. And I'm talking to my cousin. Gerard looks at me, and she goes, honey, I need you. I'm like, you don't need me to take care of that. I'm talking to my cousin. She says, DC, this, I need you. And I'm like, oh. Then I seen her take off, and she was running to the kitchen. She comes back with a towel. And this lady is sitting there. She's wrapping this lady's arm up. The lady had tried cutting herself. I'm on my phone. Hey, I got to go now. Amen? I got to go. So, long story short, the lady says, Gerard says, yeah, you can talk to my husband. That's fine. But like any wife, who are you? You come knocking on my door. Ladies, come on. Would y'all have said the same thing? She said, but who are you? And she explained to her, well, I'm one of your neighbors. Wow. Oh, well, we've seen you in passing and thing, but we've never really had this. Anyway, long story short, the lady had tried cutting herself and everything, and she says, something told me to come over here. Something told me to come over here because I need some help. Something told me. I politely told the young lady, no, that something has a name. His name is Jesus Christ. He works through the Holy Spirit. He sent you here, okay? And she said, well, I'm Catholic, and was blaming everybody. We sat with her for 2 hours, amen? And we was pouring into her, and we was loving on her like never before. And I just watched my wife just minister, and we was ministering to this lady. And then all of a sudden, she just jumps up and says, hey, let's go to my house. I'm like, whoa. So we go to her house, and as soon as we walk in, she pours another drink, and she starts drinking. She's an alcoholic. You know what I'm saying? She's depressed. Amen? She lives in darkness. Amen? Do y'all know anybody like that? Amen? But the light of the world had came to her that day. Follow me for a minute. We sat there, and we talked. She talked all about this individual, her husband, talked all about it, and then all of a sudden, he wasn't home, and she says, Well, her stuff is home. She starts acting different and everything. And I'm looking at Gerard like, oh, what's going on? Because I've been in some situations now. Gerard hasn't been. I'm thinking, all right, honey, you go home. I'm going to check things out here and call the police. And, you know, we'll be good. All right. Whew. Thank God. Nothing happened. We went to the garage. And as we was going to the garage door opened up. And the man of the house come in and he was perplexed. He says, honey, I went looking for you. Your phone was at home. We found out through some other counseling that she had tried things like this before. So he was worried for his loved one. He was concerned. So he went around the neighborhood looking for her. And you know what he told us? The last place I would have thought she would have went is your house. She doesn't know y'all. You don't have to know. Y'all better follow me for a minute. Luke 2:32, Simeon had been waiting a long time. People all in the temple that day had been waiting for a long time. But the light shined on Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit radiated from this baby. Amen. There's a light that radiates through you as a Christian to save this world. Your neighborhood is counting on you to stand up and be the light of the world. Your neighbors, your friends, your co-workers are counting on you to stand up. Amen. Because I'm telling you something. We live in the greatest time in the world, man. And we have the greatest opportunity to share God's love. The greatest opportunity. Sometimes, you know, this, I'll be honest with you. This part is easier. I'll be honest with you. It's, you get past your fear. You know what I mean? You do this stuff. This part is the easy part. But living daily, crucifying flesh every day. Crucifying flesh. Amen. Because people are depending on us. We have the answer. Amen. Do you believe that you have the answer? Do you actually believe that you are the light of the world? That the same spirit that Jesus had lives within you to do greater things than he did. Amen. So when we walk out here today, we want to walk, we used to call it pimping. But we don't want to walk with confidence. Amen. We're going to walk with boldness. We're going to call things as they should be, not as the way they are. Amen. We're not going to tell them that we hate them. We're going to tell them God loves you. Amen. There's a better way to live your life. God has a plan for you and his purposes for you. And when you start to walk in those plans and purposes, your fulfillment will come. Amen. I try to fulfill through everything but God. Amen. Now I try to fulfill all of my purposes through God, with God. Amen. Ooh, Lord. Where am I at, Gerard? You're supposed to be my helper, baby. The light reveals its identity, number five. In adversity, Deuteronomy 31:6 says, do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. I don't know about y'all, but I've had a lot of adversity in my life. Not just my life, I've had adversity as a father. Amen. My kids have done things that I didn't think they would do. Amen. I didn't know how I was going to handle the situations. I've had adversity when it comes to death in family. And anybody that's had family members die, I don't care how sage you are, sometimes it could be ugly. Amen. I mean, I've had those things happen to me. And I didn't know how I was going to how I was going to survive it. Adversity. Amen. But it was only through that adversity did God work his purposes through me. Amen. He showed me how my heart really was, how loving I really could be, how forgiving I could be. Because I would tell you in a heartbeat, I love you from a distance. I love you from a distance. Give me the sword. I'll cut the ear off. You the anointed one. You put it back on. I don't care. Seriously. But as I started to walk with God, amen, I started to find this new creation, this new creature. Amen. And I started to find out that the battles that I was fighting weren't battles I was supposed to be fighting anyway. They were God's battles. Leave them to him. Let him take care of the outcome, and I just do what he tells me to do. If he says be quiet, I be quiet. If he says spend time with that individual, I spend time with that individual. Amen? If he says go, I go. I don't worry about the why? Because he is going before me and going with me everywhere I go. Amen? So I can walk with confidence today. I don't have to fear life. I used to fear life. I used to fear what tomorrow bring because I feared what everybody was going to think about me. I feared what they was going to find out who I really was. One individual in here, I won't call Nell by her name, but hi, Nell. We worked at a Department of Transportation together, and I would rehearse going to work the night before, probably 100 times, 300 times, my job to make sure nobody found out what I was actually doing. So I would never rest. I was just trying to be the best employee. I was trying to do all this, trying to do all that, trying to cover everything up, trying to cover everything up. And there was a beautiful mother, grandmother I worked for, Miss Page. And I just couldn't fool Miss Page. No matter how many fig leaves I put on, Miss Page knew who I really was. And even though she knew who I really was, she said, baby, you going home with me tomorrow at lunchtime, because every day you say you've had that cold for 3 months now. And she said, and you're back there all the time just a snorting and whatever. And she said, that stuff is just running. I'm going to fix you some homemade soup, and we're going to get you well tomorrow. I kid you not. Now, I'd walked all the way from the parking lot up to the third floor with her one day, and she looked at me, and I had on a red shirt that day, and she says, Daryl Caldwell, call you by your whole name, you know you're in trouble. Daryl Caldwell, your eyes is as red as my blouse, as red as that shirt. Says, you're going home with me tomorrow. I'm going to fix you some homemade soup and you're going to get rid of that cold. I'm like, I ain't got no cold, Alice. Long story short, she took me to her house the next day. She actually did it. She took me to her house the next day. Mr. Page, Lloyd, was sitting there, and I walked in. He just shook his head. She loved me. She loved me enough to do something about the situation. She did what she knew what she could do. Amen. You understand where I'm coming from? Love people where they're at. See, if it wasn't because of love, I wouldn't be here today. God loved me so much that he sent his son. Amen? Not only did God love me, he put men in my life that loved me enough that told me, son, you can't do that same mistake again. Amen? Son, you can be better than that. Son, this, that, there. He loved me so much that he put me in the right church at the right time for my life. Put me around the right people that would nurture me. Amen. And then not only nurture me, but then send me out. Wow. See, I didn't know that when I came here. I just came to quit hurting. I don't know about you. I just came to quit hurting. But there's a marvelous joy that happens when we go through the process of maturing in Christ. Amen. We become something new. We become a creature, a creation that God can use. Amen. Like I said before, one of the most beautiful things we'll ever see is a clear, beautiful, dark night. And that one shining star that is just shining out there. Amen. You are that shining star. Someone is trying to get home. Everything is blocking their path. Fear. Anxiety, loneliness, depression, alcoholism. Okay? I mean, you could name them all. You know what I'm saying? Things are blocking their path. But we, the church, have to be able to stand up and be the guiding light. If we don't, they die. I don't want people to die. I want people to live and live life more abundantly. Amen?